So I would like to know.
If you don't mind, please.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. Please identify.
Mary Brennan, 175 Aldrich.
Thank you.
Major Sullivan, thank you for the research that you've done, and also, you know, I appreciate your desire to protect the public in particular, and our police force that we do have a lot of respect for. But I do know that with the purchase of any unusual and highly specialized equipment, there is maintenance and perhaps specialized personnel in order to operate the vehicle and fix the vehicle. Are there numbers in place, and can ARPA funds be used for the continued use and maintenance and operation of that vehicle?
Major, the question was, can the ARPA funds be used for future maintenance and use of the vehicle?
Probably not, based on the, as explained before, the ARPA funds have to be encumbered by the December 31st of 2024. So we can't encumber money December of this year for all future repairs, if that makes sense. It would be, it'd be out of the regular budget on an ongoing basis over the lifespan of the vehicle.
Okay, and do we have a number for how much it's going to be annually to continue to operate, maintain?
The question is there an estimate of how much to operate annually?
So the manufacturer has an operational cost of $558 per 10,000 miles of operation. This vehicle, as you can imagine, will sit idle the vast majority of the time. So that'll keep that figure in check. It comes with a factory warranty for the engine and chassis through Ford. So it can go to any Ford dealership for work. Aside from what it looks like, it's a Ford engine and a Ford chassis. So it can go to any Ford dealership for that work. And then the build, the structure part of it, which this Lenco Industries specializes in, they provide a 3-year bumper-to-bumper warranty on their work. And thankfully, that's in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, which isn't exactly down the street, but it's a better option than being in Nevada or somewhere far away, because these companies are not, there's only a handful in the country that I'm aware of, and this is the closest one. It's approximately two and a half hours away.
So it doesn't sound like it would be a very large burden to the city to maintain that vehicle. Are there personnel expenses?
Ma'am, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. If you could speak.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Are there personnel expenses that would be included on an annual basis to sustain the vehicle and its use?
Major?
No, this vehicle, all in all, the routine maintenance, like oil change and the routine stuff, can be handled by our fleet maintenance personnel that we already have, and that would be negligible. Of course, it wouldn't be nothing of a big deal.
So my question is, there's no specialized position that would be created in order to operate the vehicle?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So from an ongoing annual basis, the purchase of the vehicle and its continued maintenance should be fairly reasonable then for the city. Is that correct?
That's correct. There's really no legacy cost associated with this vehicle, other than the sticker shock of the $360,000, which, again, if we put it in perspective over the lifespan of the vehicle, which is 20 years, comes out to $18,043, somewhere in that area. So I think that's a better way to look at this. I know it's not easy for everybody to look at it that way, but this is ARPA money. It's not funny money, it's real money, I get that, but it's money that's not coming out of our, directly out of the city budget. And it's an alternative to buying such a machine 5 years from now when ARPA money is long gone, and this is coming out of the city's operating budget.
So the only other objection that I have with this purchase is from the perspective of the public, it's really intimidating looking. And so not unlike what
Councilman Ricks?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
I wasn't sure how to pronounce that. not unlike what Councilman Ricks said, we do have to exercise extreme caution, because as police officers, as members of the government, you're given a lot of power. We're giving you power, but power has to be handled very responsibly and very cautiously. So that's just one thing that I think you know, requires a lot of consideration.
Absolutely.
So, thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. May I have the next citizen to that wishes to speak on this bid? Good evening, sir. Just please identify.
Good evening. Sergeant James Torres, U.S. Army retired, 4080 Post Road. I agree with the major there. We host like an international airport here, and like we have to have like a response if something does happen. Like I said, I'm retired Army, and I've done QRF work and stuff like that, and quick responses, you have to have that. And I know some people might say it looks intimidating, but bad guys, they're not scared of like flowers and stuff like that, you know? So I don't know if it's possible to have like the airport support this as well, because it would be like responsive to them too, you know? So what else? And I don't know about the Ford, would they cover it down if it's modified aftermarketed?
Excuse me, Sergeant, if you don't mind, could you just speak into the microphone? All questions come to the chair. Thank you.
I'm wondering if Ford will still cover down on their warranty if it's aftermarket modified from another company.
Thank you.
Major? Yes, these are covered by the Ford authorized dealers that they will do the work on the engine and the chassis.
Thank you.
And then also, I don't know if it's possible because I know it's in East Greenwich, but we have Kent Fogarty over here too. We have a lot of guys that work over there on vehicles like such as this. So I don't know if that'd be a possibility as well. So
thank you.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless. You too. Thank you. Are there any other citizens that wish to speak on this bid, sir?
Thank you.
Good evening. Just identify into the microphone and speak into the microphone.
Yes, my name is Taylor. I live in Ottawa Avenue.
I'm sorry, could you say that again, please?
Taylor, Ottawa Avenue.
Thank you.
Yes. I don't quite understand the urgency of this purchase. You've said that there are 4 to 5 incidents a year that would have this sort of response be appropriate. And 4 to 5 times a year, we've managed to get this vehicle from another location. You said yourself that this would be sitting idle most of the time, having vehicles that are sitting idle most of the time seems like a very inefficient use of resources. I come from a sort of interesting perspective. I am someone who has severe mental illness. I've suffered from bipolar 1 for many years now. I am medicated. I love my meds. They make the screaming stop. I'm much more normal. I have no intention of going off of them. But the times that I have experienced psychosis, you're scared. You're not really sure what's going on. Everything is very confusing. And being in a situation where sort of the first response is, hey, here's this heavily armored sort of, you know, you mentioned the militarization of the police, kind of military vehicle, would be terrifying. And the purpose of this purchase is not sort of a new capability. It's to speed up the arrival of the capability by some amount of time. And that amount of time feels like it would be, as someone who has been kind of in that situation on the other side, that amount of time feels like it would be spent well in a traditional police kind of response. You don't have to go in and engage. You can sort of stay back. But the incremental benefit does not feel worth $360,000 to me. That's more than the cost of my house.
Is that all, sir?
That is. It's just kind of my opinion. Is there anything that I said that you'd like to respond to? I would like to have this as kind of a dialogue.
So, Major, the resident would like to know if you have any response to anything that was said.
No, sir. Sir, our intention is not to oppress anybody, intimidate anybody. That's not what this vehicle's for. We're not going to be using it for to respond to somebody that's looking for some help, getting some mental health treatment, you know?
I am not a bad guy. And I think that as kind of a, most people, I think, are good people. You have some people who've got, you know, some crazy things going on. But if it's one of those things where the person who is going to be approached with this is having mental health problems, not sort of an airport-related terrorist, which sounded like a related concern, then I don't think that this vehicle is an appropriate use of funds for Warwick. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am, I apologize. Just please identify into the microphone.
Nancy Cornish, 445 Narragansett Bay Avenue in Warwick.
Thank you.
I empathize greatly with the person who just spoke. I actually was going to bring up the same topic. And I appreciate that Councilman Rex also brought this up, that in the situations when you're working with possibly people who have mental disabilities or problems, that I wouldn't want any situation to arise where they are threatened, that they are frightened to death, and act in an irrational way because they're being approached by a vehicle and armored people who are look more military than any sort of help. That's an extreme concern of mine in this regard, and I so appreciate our police and all of our first responders and all of our military. One of the remarks that was brought up was that there are so many firearms in America, but it must be also brought into consideration that 99.9% of those firearms are owned by people who are law-abiding citizens who would never use them in a bad way. And our only concern is those people who do not own them properly and do not have a right to own them, which is it's a small percentage. So bringing up the total number of firearms in our country, which is for our own defense, I don't find relevant. I do want to say that I totally understand the need for up-armored vehicles. My son spent too many deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan in unarmored vehicles and was had rockets shot at him daily. And I'm very appreciative when they were able to get armored vehicles, and I appreciate that greatly. And we do need armored vehicles. I am a little concerned that this particular vehicle doesn't just look like an up-armored Humvee, but maybe more threatening than an up-armored Humvee, and if that's another possibility, to even get a few up-armored Humvees rather than a huge Bearcat type of vehicle. Just so that people don't feel, they're still protected, but they don't make people feel so threatened. That worries me, that people would feel threatened. I do want to say, I have a word from a 26-year Marine veteran, if I may read that. He supports the SWAT in all of their jobs, and he did have to go through years of not being armored and has suffered from injuries from that, severe. He says, crime is getting worse. They probably only got it 4 times last year, but could have used it many more times than that in situations that really could have used it. On the other hand, with their own equipment, they can train with the gear they use and set it up the way they prefer, as opposed to borrowing a setup from another city. So he does not oppose this purchase. And I also agree that a SWAT team is necessary and that we need them for our community, and we do need up-armored vehicles. I'm not sure if we need Bearcat type of vehicle. Something maybe less threatening would be possibility. And so those are my comments for the day, and I appreciate all of your concerns. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any more statements or comments from the public concerning this bid? So I see that Councilman Foley is raising his hand. I would like to give, So one moment. What we have to do is, because everyone spoke, there was a request by a previous speaker to have an extension on time. I want to go on record that I, myself, Timothy Howe, not in the capacity of the chairman, but as someone's looking for the common courtesy that we've displayed in this council, everyone has displayed in this council chamber, that I do not intend on making the motion that someone who yells at our president, at any member of this council, or to this committee that has worked so hard. So I will leave it to Councilman Foley, and I do intend on voting against extending the time. Thank you.
My motion is to extend the time for Mr. Cook. Out of courtesy, he is a constituent in my ward, but I would limit it to 3 minutes. He stated that he was just wrapping up, so I think 3 minutes is enough. Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
No. The ayes have it. Mr. Cook.
Thank you, Councilman Foley. Real quickly. I just want to make several points. One, the city of Providence with 190,000 people doesn't have one of these. Mr. Howell is correct. Warwick is not Providence, nor is Warwick the other 34 cities and towns who don't have one. One. Two, we're rushing forward to spend money because it's ARPA money, which I guess people think is not tax money, but it is taxpayer money just from the federal government. If we have until the end of 24 to obligate this money, I don't think a $50,000 price increase should force you people to make a decision now. If it's a $50,000 price increase, deal with it then. Two. Three, it seems to me, just my opinion, a humble taxpayer, this is a solution seeking a problem. Based on what I've heard tonight, what I've read in the paper, and several of my neighbors are state police people who I've spoken with, it doesn't appear to me that we have a pressing need to vote to obligate this money tonight. So my suggestion would be, since we have until the end of 24 to make this decision, I strongly suggest that this matter be tabled tonight, much like you did with the expenditure for $38,000 for equipment for the Harbor Master. If it was important enough to postpone a decision on $38,000 equipment for the Harbor Master, it should be important enough for you folks to postpone a decision on this tonight. I'm done. Thank you for your time. And Mr. Foley, thank you again for allowing me the opportunity.
Thank you. Ma'am, you still have time remaining on your statement. Thank you.
So my question is to Major Sullivan.
And if you don't mind.
Mary Brennan.
Thank you.
175 Aldrich. Thank you. My question is, because it's such an extreme kind of vehicle and it's very highly specialized, is there a written protocol in place that would justify its use so that, unlike the many occurrences that have happened across the United States today, innocent people aren't treated in such extreme measures? For instance, as an example, you know, it seems to me that if there is a situation in which, you know, we know that there are firearms being used, then of course the vehicle is understandably needed depending on the situation. However, for individuals who, you know, there's no other previous record, I would expect that that vehicle wouldn't be used for that kind of situation. And so is there a written protocol in place to justify the use of that vehicle so that we are not threatening citizens or making them feel intimidated?
Major, the question was, is there a protocol in place for the use of that vehicle in a situation?
I assure you there'll be protocol in place that it's not going to be up to an individual officer to just jump in and take it out on the road. They're going to have to go through the chain as high up or probably starting at the operations major, my counterpart, to get approval.
So my next question then is, why isn't something like that already in place that then justifies its purchase?
Major, the question is, why isn't something that justifies its purchase?
I'm unclear on what you mean.
Why so, isn't there a protocol in place, ma'am?
Correct.
Well, we've never had a vehicle like this before, Major?
No, that's correct. We've never had, well, we had one many, many years ago that we in secondhand inheritance from the state police. It was an old military surplus vehicle that we got very little, to my recollection, it was very early in my career, we got very little usefulness out of that. And then it's sat because it's just, it was worn out. And I don't think there was a any formal protocol at that time, to my knowledge. But again, it's a vehicle that's going to be used by a SWAT team for SWAT emergencies that meet the level to warrant its presence. It's not going to be used for routine events.
Okay, so within the context of the information that we received tonight, there have been four instances in which we've needed the vehicle and borrowed it, correct?
Four or five that we've actually used it, yes.
I wasn't clear on how many times you would have, should have, could have used the vehicle had it been available. And so when you make that analysis of what the situation is and how much it would have to escalate before you would use it, how many times would you say that it would be in use last year, for instance?
So you're asking him to go back, for clarification, ma'am, you're asking him to go back to last year and kind of give you a personal guesstimate of how many times that vehicle would have been used
right,
yesterday?
Right, a situation that would that warrants, because of the way it escalated, the use of that vehicle.
Major, you can answer that question, but I want to go on record as saying that I do understand you are going to give it your best guess, and you will not, you know, you're not under oath or anything. Such
yes, as. Estimations is what I can give you. So maybe another half dozen times. So in addition to an emergency where we have somebody held up in the house with a firearm threatening themselves or others, we may have a search warrant for a drug house that we have intel. We'll do intel, a workup sheet. We call it it's just a formula that we developed that sees what the house is about, who the people who live there, what they're about, what we know about them, what don't know about them. And then, at a certain level, it might mandate a higher response, which would introduce the vehicle.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Major.
Thank you.
At this time, we've concluded all comments and questions from the members of this committee, the council. I apologize. Mr. Zarum, please. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. I don't think you could see me. For the record, Michael Zarum, President, Ward 2. I didn't plan on speaking or commenting on this issue, but after listening to everybody, I just had a couple of questions that I would hope the committee would consider before making a decision. I agree with the former speaker in that I'd like to get a definitive answer on how many times the last 10 years a vehicle like this would have been used in the city of Warwick and what those situations were, what the specific instances were. The next question is, with a vehicle like this, I understand its purpose, I understand its need, but would, given the demand and the probability for daily use compared to a regular police cruiser to a larger event that would be require a vehicle like this, I guess my question is, would it be more appropriate that a vehicle like this be in a fleet with the Rhode Island State Police? Would be able to get here. They were also very responsive, just like the Warwick Police. And I think that question should be answered. Should a vehicle like this or a fleet of vehicles like this be more appropriately maintained by the Rhode Island State Police where it can be dispatched, not just to Warwick, but any place in the state? And I do remember a couple of years ago when the Warwick Police maintained vigilance. People thought there may be riots here and everything else. A lot of roads were blocked off. And there was a joint effort between the Warwick Police, the State Police, and also the National Guard. So I just wonder, with a vehicle like this and its cost and the utilization rate, is it more appropriate that a vehicle like this be maintained by the Rhode Island State Police or the Rhode Island National Guard? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zarum. Are there any further it'll be safe than sorry. Thank you. May I have a recommendation from this committee?
I move favorable action.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item number two is bid 2022-060, statistical reappraisal of the real estate real property located within the corporate limits of the city of Warwick, effective December 31st, 2024. Good evening.
Good evening. Lynn Proger, Deputy Finance Director. Peter is homesick tonight, so you have me. Tonight, we are asking that there be an increase to the contract to Vision Government Solutions so that of $359,000 so that we are able to complete a revaluation of property.
Thank you, Lynn. This, among many others that I did follow up on, many other bids within coming before this committee, this is one that was very confusing, and I'm going to ask you to go on record with clarification. Where within the letter, the body of the letter, it states that the city would be able to reduce this by $37,000 to $322,000. But then it says, in the event city personnel, for whatever reason, are not able to fully complete this transaction. So you're asking for an amount with the possibility of doing an additional job. Could you go further into that, please?
Yeah, we're looking for the 359 with the plan to go to 322. This contract does extend across a couple of fiscal years. There have been some reallocations of duties over in the assessor's department. A lot of this also has to do with, you know, people staying in their positions and all of that. There's also a lot of room to utilize technology better. So there's a little bit of wiggle room that we'd like to keep in there so that we could do better with technology use through this contract.
So what would be the plan if we approve the full amount and the city ends up going through with the cost savings? Would that be something that would have to be applied to a following year, or would that like,
it would just disappear?
It would disappear.
If it is not done for this work, it will go to the bottom line. And it depends on how we budget for this in future years.
Understood. And what would there be any harm in your eyes that if the city, or any objections, I'll use that word as well, if we authorized, amended this to authorize $322,000, and then if the city cannot follow through with the contract, you come before the council again to increase with the understanding that the intent was to save the $22,000?
That is a real possibility. You by all means, could do that. In doing that, it will take any kind of wiggle room out of that possibility between using the technology and the staffing that we have to be able to do that.
So you're saying, because if I'm understanding this correctly, you're saying because this is within your department and because of the restructuring, if you will, or the restructuring of duties, you're not 100% sure that your department can fulfill the ambition of saving that money, wouldn't, or whatever it may be.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so before, we'll just continue with the discussion, and I'm sure my colleagues have much more questions. To the members of the committee, any questions? Councilman Gebhardt.
I think you can do it. That's all.
Okay.
Are there any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So you state that you could reduce the cost by $36,977. How did you come up with that number?
That was the 322 is the cost of the previous reval.
I'm sorry?
It was the previous reval, right? It was from the statistical reval. That was the cost in a previous year.
So when you speak to being able to reduce the cost on this by using our in-house staff, that number that is mentioned, did that include healthcare and pension costs and FICA and TDI and workers' comp, or was that strictly the salary cost?
Salary.
So it's fair to say we can add a strong 45%+ to that salary number to come up with a real cost. Because obviously the taxpayers are paying for all of those fringe benefits. So I think it's important that when these numbers are presented to us as a savings, that we're going to save by doing A, B, and C, I think it's important when it comes to salary that we're given a more realistic number. We're giving what the real costs are of that employee or employees. I think that's very important, and that has not been occurring. The other issue is when those staff member or members are working on this reval, they're also not working on other things that they work on during the course of their day or the course of the year. So that makes me wonder, are we overstaffed? If we can pull people out of their daily routine to work on this reval, what does that mean? The other question that I have is, on the amendment number one, which has been approved and signed for by Director Schaefer, in here it says in item three, it says there is additional compensation of $69,000 for this addendum, bringing his number that he signed for to $358,000. So how is it that we're now looking for $359,000?
There was $322,000 for the contract. And as you are aware, we delayed a revaluation, so there was an additional amount in that component to complete that year. That is, I think, with the addendum one you're looking at. I think that was the year that the reval was pushed off.
What I'm referring to is a document that I have from Director Schaefer. It's an amendment which was entered into on the third day of February 2023, and it's calling for a total of $358,000 versus the $359,000 that you're currently asking for.
Page 12 in the bid deck docket.
Actually, I
see it. It says 358. You're correct.
It's page 13, Chairman. The amendment, you're right, is on page 12.
Yes.
The item.
It says number 13 at the bottom.
I'm sorry.
You're talking about the page that says 13.
The page he's referring to. Yes.
You're correct. That says 358.
So that means that this should be amended to 358 instead of 359.
The amount that Vision has given for this is 359.
I know that's what we've been given.
Yeah.
So. But the director
signed for 358.
I'm sorry?
This is an old addendum. This is not for tonight, right? This is from April of 23.
I don't see any other addendum. So what changed between the time this addendum was signed and approved by Director Schaefer and what we're looking at today?
Councilman, if you look at the top, this addendum is from 3rd of February, 2023.
They put it in
as, oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I didn't hear you say 2023.
Yeah.
They put it as evidence. Another updated is the letter from Director Schaefer on bid 2022 was the memo upon myself looking into this that I requested further information. And that further explains it. So the correct amount is 359. I understand what you're saying here.
Well, so the corrected number, corrected by whom? Who corrected the number and when did it get corrected? That's what I'm asking. I don't see anything direct. And by the way, Mr. Chair, I know that this was sent to us. I don't believe it was sent to us by you, but it says here, dear Councilman Howe, in response to your questions on the reevaluation contract, that's here in our document. But what I don't have is your questions. And I'm curious as to why, again, not coming from you, but from whoever, you know, in this case, it was Mr. Schaefer, why the questions you had asked were not included with this so that we could also see what are those questions and have a better understanding of the numbers. Because what we have now is something that's just, it's just not clear. You know, in one avenue, Mr. Schaefer signs for 358 and now we're saying 359. And, you know, I would have been very interested in seeing the questions that you asked.
Well, like the 358 is from 2023. The request is for 359. I can give you the general, the comments that are in this document address the questions that I had. And the question that I had was, why are they asking for 359? Because it wasn't clearly stated when they are saying they can reduce the cost by $37,000 to 322. And the other part was, if you look at the sentence on that first paragraph, second sentence, there is some risk on this as we move forward. So the contract also includes cost factors for the contractor in the event city personnel, for whatever reason, are not able to fully complete the transition. That is one of the questions that I had. And I did that. I asked the questions because I felt as a council person, but also as the chairperson, the explanation wasn't clear enough. So I asked the questions doing my due diligence for the citizens of Warwick. As any other council member on this council is welcome to ask questions. Upon reviewing this, I asked the questions. And then once this happened and I got the response, I requested, as she did, and she worked very hard this week, I asked the council liaison to go ahead and forward it to the members of the council and or put it in the packet.
Mr. Chair, I think that your questions were appropriate, and I think you were good.
Well, thank you.
What I'm saying is, and I don't mean that sarcastically. My point is that this is information that should be disseminated to us. When they're providing us a document or documents in our package saying, okay, so Councilman whatever asked these questions and just, you know, give us a rendition of what their opinions are, what their answers are to those questions, with us not knowing the questions, it's not productive. But let me get to the point. The point is, with the difference between what was signed for by Mr. Schaefer and what we have now, is in addendum number one cost, which that addendum goes back to, well, it was signed by Mayor Picozzi on July 20th, 22. That addendum was for $70,000. What is in the document that we have, it says $69,000. There's a $1,000 difference there. What the council approved was $69,000. What is in the paper that we have in our binder is $69,000. So I'm looking for clarity on that. How does that occur? What's right? Is it the 70 or is it the 69?
We are looking for the 359.
I'm sorry?
We are looking for 359,000, please.
So what you're saying is the document that I'm looking at on page 13, where it says 69,000, that is wrong. The number should have been 70,000 based upon what we approved back in July, or at least it was signed by the mayor on July 20th, 22, was 70. So the 69 is not correct. It should be 70.
The 59 is correct.
What do you mean? Did you say
I'm requesting $359,000 tonight.
So, Mr. Chairman, we're kind of walking around the issue here. The issue is the correct number for the add-on, is it 69,000 or is it 70? We approved item number 2022-060, 70,000. That was the amendment. In this document, it says 69,000. This amendment number one was dated 3rd day of February 2022. We approved 70,000 in July of 2022. So let's get the document straight. If it's the 70 that was approved, it's not 69. And if they're looking for 359, then that number has got to change from 69 to 70. Otherwise, all they should be getting is 358 as approved by the finance director.
Just as a point of information, are you referring still to page 13? The number, the what it's displayed is page 13. I know it's not actually.
Councilman Sinapi, thank you. I'm sorry. Councilman Sinapi, you're asking what question, please?
Just a point of information to confirm I'm understanding Councilman Lattister. You're still referencing
page 13.
Stated as page 13. Okay, because that's an addendum to a contract which is attached to an email, and the email is saying would they want to do an agreement under the same terms. By the way, here's what those terms were, and then that's the former contract. It's not saying the same amount. It's just pointing out the terms as before. So I understand what you're saying. Why are the numbers different? The numbers are different just because the bid now is different. No. As opposed to before.
Yeah, I understand that. But the fact remains is that what we had increased it by was 70,000, not 69,000.
Right. But 69 is in reference to the page 13, which is a different contract and not this bid. It seems like you're trying to compare something that can't be compared.
No, I don't think that's the case, because what they're asking for is they're asking for the award amended on 2/3/23 for a total of 359,000. Where on August 2nd, mm-hmm. 2021, it was 289. Then we amended it 270. So I'm not disputing the 359 in this document that we have, which is part of the binder. It was given to us, obviously, as support and backup for the request. It says original cost, 289. It says addendum number one cost, 69. Total, 358. My point is the 69 isn't the number. The 69, the number is 70.
So your point is either page 10 has a typo or page 13 does, pretty much. Either the 70 is an error or the 69 is an error.
No, the 70 is not an error, because that is, I'll show it to you right here. There's the 70.
It says on page 16.
and that was signed by the mayor on July 20th, 2022.
It looks to me like the council approved $70,000 increase. And when it was sent to Vision Government, they put 69, which Peter signed, which means we expended $1,000 less than approved. And that's what it looks like.
Which means, yeah, which means is it was signed and approved for the wrong amount. It was approved for 70, not 69.
So if I remember, well, we approved the council. What you're saying, for clarification, what you're saying is the council approved 70. You were invoiced 69, which is what was expended.
Yep.
So therefore, it was 1,000, but the council approved 70.
Correct.
And they expended 69 because that's what they were invoiced.
So you're looking for now, you're looking for 359, which is 1,000 more, right?
For the next contract, yes, with the possibility, and this is what, if you don't mind, because not to, but this is what I'm looking to do after discussion, is to request to amend this. Well, I'm sorry. So yes, they're asking for 359, and but I, you know, after discussion, because the indication in their letter, the second letter that was sent January 31st by Director Schaefer, saying that with if we do it in-house, we can have an additional savings of 37,000, thus bringing the contract to 322, and that's what I'm prepared to request.
Okay, so I guess, you know, it's not going to be acknowledged that the document I'm looking at on February 3rd, 2023 has an error in it by $1,000.
I think it was
now.
I think it was addressed though, Councilman, but go ahead, I'm sorry.
In addition to that, I do not believe that it's being totally transparent to the taxpayers, Chairman, when you're saying that it's going to be reduced, the cost, it says, believes he can reduce these costs by $37,000. Mm-hmm. That is not accurate because it doesn't give you the real number. The real number includes all the additional overhead costs associated with that. So if this were being subbed out to Vision Appraisals, we wouldn't be worrying about workers' comp and TDI and FUTA and pensions and benefits, healthcare, et cetera, because that doesn't come into play. But in this case, the reduction of 37,000 isn't the real number because that 37,000 has overhead costs associated to it. So I just don't feel the number is, it's not a fully disclosed number.
So we're talking about a contract where we're going to give the business to a company that's bidding on this job. And what the city is saying is, with the personnel we already have, where we voted in a separate vote for the contract and their employment and their benefits, that they're going to use those employees to try to reduce the contract costs another 37,000. So I don't see how one goes with the other when we vote separately on the employment of the employees. And this is a contract having to do with evaluation. So reevaluation. So that's, I think all the information for this contract is here. And I commend the attempt to try to add more ownership, if you will, not saying that there's not ownership, but add more emphasis within the department to get this job done without having to go to outside sources.
And Councilman, may I interrupt?
I'm not disputing that. The fact, you know, of, you know, the kudos for doing this, et cetera. I'm simply stating that if that's the case, then it should be identified. The savings is direct salary savings, does not include any associated overhead costs, et cetera, because that 37,000 is not an accurate number.
This is just, you know, from where I come from, I come from total costs. You know, not just, okay, I'm going to buy it for 50 cents and I'm going to sell it for a dollar and I made my profit of 50 cents. It's not true because you have all associated costs with it. So that's the point.
All right.
You know, do what you want with it. I just feel that in the future that when these type of things are being done, which is wonderful, it's great, then either stipulate that this is strictly the salary item. The savings is strictly a salary item because those other associated costs are not being factored into this. That's all.
And whenever I hired a contractor or anyone to do work, they never told me how much they were getting paid. It was a bill. They quoted me a price, and I agreed with that price and I hired them. It was a bill, and if I could do some stuff to reduce the cost, I would. You had a follow-up?
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. You're concerned about some step increases that happened in the assessor's department. Yes, that number does not include benefits, but it's a step increase. It's an increase in base pay,
we've already addressed that.
So
we're speaking on the contract right now. So
right.
We've already addressed that. Thank you. We're done with this. We're talking about the contract. The salaries are a separate issue, and we're talking about this bid. So we're talking about awarding a bid to an outside company, correct? And the possibility of the city absorbing some of the responsibility of what the bid is, what the contract is calling for, correct?
Correct.
Which has nothing to do with, we're using the personnel we already have, correct?
Correct.
Then we're done. Thank you. Are there any other questions from members of the council? Are there questions from members of the public? Thank you. Okay, one moment. Please identify.
Ann Sheridan. With revaluation companies. With revaluation companies, and I've had experience with these in the past, normally what's done is that the contractor is paid for work as it progresses through the contract term. So while you may bid out an X number of dollars, if the assessor's office can realign some work within the house, he may be able to do work that the contractor is not doing, so he would save money from the contract. It's not that he's saving salaries, he's just realigning his own staff in-house and not paying the contractor on the other side. This revaluation was supposed to have been enacted for December 31st, 2022, for fiscal year 23, and it was postponed, so it's now going to be December 2024, effective for the 25 year. Going back to the paperwork that submitted, I too was very confused about what anybody was saying. And I think the thing that confused me the most was the effective date of the assessments. Now, the paperwork that was attached said that the market value would be December 22. So are we saying that when we issue valuations for December 2024, fiscal year 25, that the valuation is going to be market value as of 2022 and not something more current?
This is through December 24, this contract.
I understand the contract, but the paperwork that was shown specifies that the assessment dates are going to be something different. So what is going to be the market valuation date?
December 24.
Which is the end of this year?
Yes.
Okay. And where do you see that? Where is it going to be in any contract? Where do you see it?
So if I may ask, Ms. Sheridan, if you wouldn't mind just speaking into the microphone. No, that's fine. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
It's difficult when you're talking to someone. I realize that. I get it.
Yep. And the other question I would like to ask is...
If you don't mind, I'm going to give her a moment and just to seek an answer. Thank you.
So we don't have a contract yet. We're asking for the approval tonight. If you read in Director Schaefer's letter, it does cite December 24 in it. And with approval of the purchase, then we would sign the contract.
I see that, but again, the attachment was a little confusing. So thank you. And the other question I have is, do we know how much has not been paid to the vendor to date?
The question is, how much has not been paid to the vendor?
Right.
Thank you. Do you know how much the vendor has not been paid to date?
Of this component? Of what part of the contract?
The revaluation was supposed to have been done a year or so ago. It was postponed. So there was money over time that's been allocated and paid to the vendor. So there should be some funds on hand in addition to the extra $70,000. Or has he been paid everything up and you're looking for more than $70,000 now?
I see. Director Dupuis, did you have an answer to that?
Maybe.
Okay, please identify.
Neil Dupuis, Director of Assessing. I need a ruling because I have recused myself from this conversation. My wife works for the vendor. She has since before, and we've had the vendor since before I was hired. But is that just from the financial aspects? Can I address some of the technical aspects?
Solicitor.
Just while the solicitor thinks on this, the solicitor is the city council's solicitor, so he can give his thoughts, but he does not represent you, and he does not, you know, make those type of rulings for outside. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Just trying to move it forward.
Councilman, I think we should take a pause on the committee at this time. We have another legal question here. This is all good. Good thing. I just think we should take a pause, let the solicitor think about that. We've gone about 2 hours. I think we take a pause here on the finance committee meeting. We'll take a 5-minute recess. We'll come back. We'll start the full city council meeting where we have our guests. Then we'll come back and into committees after that. So right after the start of the full council meeting. So I would just, that would be my recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Absolutely, Mr. President. You will be first up to continue your line of questioning when we come back. Thank you so much. The Warwick Finance Committee is 6:57. The Warwick Finance Committee will pause and come back after the opening of the council.